In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
During the course of pre-Lent, we've begun to wean ourselves from the many rich and excessive indulgences of this life in anticipation of the Lenten fast. The warning, then, of the seed that fell along the path is to put away all pride, arrogance, greed, dishonesty, self-centeredness, and disobedience. That of the seed among the rocks is to put away all shallow emotionalism, all thoughts that the church doesn't offer enough of this, that, or the other thing to meet what you think you need beyond the word and holy sacraments. And that of the seed among the thorns is to beware of and put away all the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. Repent. Beginning at 70 days, the Jesima season pictures the 70 years of Babylonian captivity before the return to Jerusalem. The people long to be raised up out of captivity, even as we long for the day of our own resurrection from the captivity of this sinful world. For the promise yet stands. The Word made flesh does not return void, but accomplishes that for which He is sent. You are reconciled to God in the forgiveness of your sins. The kingdom is yours for free. Jesus is led out bearing the cross in peace and joy as all creation sings the glorious battle. Instead of thorns and briars, you now have the cypress and the myrtle. That is shade and refreshment and comfort, peace and joy. Forgiveness, life, and salvation from all the burdens of life. You have it for Jesus' sake, who carries his cross along the path of suffering and death. He plants his cross in the rocky soil of Golgotha as thorns choke his brow. He's trampled underfoot by wicked men, as Satan and his demons hound him to devour him. His lips grow parched and crack, baking in the fire of the Father's wrath, as the thorns cut and lacerate his sacred head and face. Jesus is crushed and smashed under the weight of your sin, and buried in the heart of the earth. Yet the word sown in the earth springs forth in new life. Neither the grave, nor the seal, nor the stone can hold the king who mounts the gibbet of the holy cross to take your place and endure your punishment to spare you his wrath. Tempted in every way you are, he yet bears it with perfect patience and without sin. The word made flesh springs forth in new life bearing fruit. You are the hundredfold fruit he produces as a gift to his Father. This is why Jesus sows his seed so recklessly. The fruit he seeks, he's already purchased with his blood. He's no respecter of persons and doesn't discriminate. So he sows where no reasonable farmer ever would, on the well-worn path and in rocky and thorny ground, calling all with ears to hear. There are no good people, no plowed and ready earth, only sinners. Thus his word does what no ordinary seed could. It transforms the ground. It makes its own good and pleasant soil. And it bears fruit, even in the rebellious hearts of men. Jesus sows because he is good, because his seed is good, and because you need it. What then is the symbolism of sexagesima, which approximates 60 days. Two significant events call us to the mercy of God in this world of struggle. First, the statue of Nebuchadnezzar was 60 cubits high. Daniel refused to bow down to the statue, but remained faithful in the captivity and exile. God not only rescued Daniel, but he returned Israel to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple that was 60 cubits high. In this season of pre-Lent, we take comfort that our enemies in this world, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, are overcome as the Word of God falls upon our bodies of dirt and takes root within us. No place is left untouched by His Word as Jesus lavishly, indiscriminately, and recklessly casts the seed of His Word. For He sows to plant new life within you. And through His means of grace, Jesus is planted in you as you are planted into Him, grafted into His pierced side. And what kind of soil does He make you to be? A careful, reverent, and deliberate hearer of the Word of God. One whose faith is constantly tended by the Word and Holy Sacraments. One who has contempt for the things of this life, which are a threat to your faith. And so, like St. Paul, who wrote that he disciplined his body, lest after preaching to others he himself should be disqualified, you must do the same. Like the parable of the sower, a harvest yielding 30, 60, and 100-fold will be raised up, for our bodies of dust have the words scattered upon them, that we be rebuilt as the temple of God, rebuilt as Jesus is lifted up in death. But even though Jesus was found in the appearance of weakness, yet he prevailed. For by his dying and rising again, he defeats and destroys your enemies. Jesus is himself the seed which fell into the ground and died in order that new life would sprout forth and produce much fruit. In him the weak are strong. You are strong. In him you are made into good, fertile soil. Through this enfleshed and living, crucified yet exalted Word of God, the Spirit of God dwells within your lifeless dust from the day of your baptism to raise you to life eternal. Even as the people were brought back to Jerusalem according to that same word of the Lord. For the word of the Father, Jesus Christ, plants himself within you by the Spirit in the holy sacraments. After all, is not water and the word of God holy baptism, a heavenly bath, a washing of regeneration by the Holy Spirit? Isn't the word of God spoken from the lips of the pastor holy absolution, the God-given assurance and certainty that your sins are put away forever, that they're forgiven? Are not bread and wine joined to the word of God, the very flesh and blood of Jesus himself, given in death for you to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of your sins? Absolutely. And indeed they are. For the word does not return void, but accomplishes what he says. It doesn't matter who you are. The word makes his own soil. Jesus makes you to be good soil. No matter how trampled over, how rocky, shallow, or full of thorns you may be, the word is planted in you and takes root. Jesus puts his hands to the plow of the Holy Cross until they are raw and bleeding to till up your worn, beaten down dust into fresh, pleasant, and ready pasture, to smash the hardness of your heart, to weed out and uproot all the thorns which choke you, casting them into the unquenchable fire, to plant you deep within his open side as he fertilizes the ground with his blood. He who has gets more. The kingdom is built not on justice but on grace. So what fruit do you produce? The fruit of faith, the sign of living faith. You love and serve your neighbor. You flee to where Jesus has promised to be found, to receive from him his gifts of life and salvation. You do this not to earn his favor, but because this is simply who you are now in him. This is your new life. You are joined to the true and living vine, and in him you produce much fruit. The second example of God's grace, then, is that of Isaac. who had been promised a son but had none at age 60. In the same way, we long for God to keep that long-standing promise given at baptism in this week of sexagesima. So even if the world looks on you and sees what appears weakness and nothingness, you are planted in Jesus. Nothing can change that you're the child of God and heir of heaven. And when you are planted in the earth, Jesus will come to raise your body in perfection and glory like unto his own. Then will be revealed for all creation to see who you are in Jesus. Not weak, not nothing, but the beautiful and living fruit of Jesus. If you suffer, if you're worried and fearful, if you're tired and abused, take heart. Jesus lives. He is the word sown, springing forth a new life, and he is sown into you. He has suffered that you may have peace, died that you may live. What then if you are weak? Jesus makes you strong. Boast in him. 60 days isn't all that long. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.